This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And let's hope you're awake, because we're not. Anyway.
Yeah, that's for sure. On the phone with us here today, hopefully, I hope he's there, we're talking to Tim Crowley. Tim, are you there?
I am.
Hey, beautiful. You've got yourself an aircraft that I absolutely would love to get my hands on, but I'm a little short cash right now. What is this airplane?
Oh, we've got a Lockheed Constellation that was flown for President Eisenhower in 1953 and 54, called Columbine II.
This is the only former Air Force One in civilian hands, right?
That's correct.
Wow. How did you guys get a hold of this thing?
Well, I can take you through the steps, but we're not really sure why they ever sold it. My grandfather purchased it in a lot of five aircraft in 1970 that all Constellations, and he intended to use them as crop dusters or spraying forests and things for
contracts. Wow, that's a really big crop.
It is. It was an impressive operation at the time. They put out a lot of material.
I was going to say, Connie, that's a pretty good-sized airplane, not your average crop duster by any means.
So, that's true.
So he wound up with this airplane as a lot of five Constellations. The Air Force had no idea that they had just sold a former Air Force One?
Well, we assume that the Air Force knew, but they didn't tell us anything about it. In 1970, the world was a lot different place, and maybe collectible and notable museum things weren't so important then. We're not really sure why they sold it.
Well, they were also busy with other things at the time.
Yeah, Vietnam War for a start.
Yeah.
So how did you guys find out it was former Air Force One?
Well, we didn't for years. When my grandfather purchased these airplanes, the five that he bought were all needed work, and four of them were reasonably flight-worthy, but the fifth one, which was this one, was on the wrong landing gear. It was on 1049 model landing gear. So he left it behind and flew the other four and operated them for about 10 years and just used this airplane for parts. And he liquidated. He sold the other four planes to various different buyers. And he was actually ready to cut this one up and scrap it. And the Smithsonian had contacted him about that time and told him then that it was Columbine II.
Well, thank God they got there just in the nick of time.
They did.
So the airplane is still sitting there. What kind of shape is she in?
Once he learned this, my grandfather was a pretty big airplane operator, but he never had a whole lot of money. So he learned this, and he spent several years trying to find somebody to partner with him to help finance the restoration of the plane, in which he did. And he talked to a guy named Harry Oliver, and Harry's still involved with it. And they restored the exterior of the airplane and put engines on it and whatnot and flew it quite a bit in the early 1990s. So the airplane's it's relatively intact. The interior is just like we bought it in 1970, and the Air Force had removed a lot of seats and things out of the interior. But it last flew about 10 years ago, and we're interested in trying to fly it again and find a good home for it.
Well, it actually sounds like it's in fairly close to the configuration it may have been in as Air Force One.
It is. It is. Like you say, there's seats missing, and the galley's not in the airplane. We know where the galley's at, but it's not in the airplane right now. But it's largely intact.
Do you have any idea what it would take to get her flyable again?
We do. We did some work on it this last spring, and several hundred thousand dollars, because it's expensive to work on those old airplanes now, but all four engines are intact. We ran three of them. They need some pumps and a lot of hydraulic hoses and fittings, because it's been down in the desert in storage for a long time.
Well, at least it's better than rusting away.
or being shredded.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah.
So you're trying to find an investor to help you out with this airplane. What about museums? Have any museums expressed interest in the aircraft?
Yes, I've been contacted probably by 12 to 15 museums over the past year, and all private museums or state museums. And there's a lot of interest, but not only to buy the airplane from the current owners, but the money it's going to take to move it. Most of the museums just don't have the funds. So we're trying to find a way to fund this project, maybe with a television show or something like that.
What about the Air Force? Haven't they expressed any interest in bringing this up to Dayton?
Well, the Air Force has been we've approached them repeatedly since 1980 when we learned what this airplane was. And the Air Force is actually made a point that they don't want it. It's kind of hard to believe, but the National Air Force Museum in Dayton is the main Air Force museum. They have satellite facilities, and there is one in Dover, Delaware that would love to have it. But the museum in Dayton has a hangar full of presidential planes, and they don't think they need it, so they've told us that they have no interest at all.
I can't believe that. That would Columbine, too, would complete the set. It would be all of them.
It would. And the Air Force, the Air Mobility Command Museum is the name of the facility in Dover that would like to have it. And they're associated with the airlift wing that hauls the president today. They've always had that responsibility in Delaware. And they've got a nice museum there. They would love to have the plane. They've got a place they'd like to park it. They're fully behind it, but their superiors in Dayton don't want to spend any resources or put any effort into it. And in fact, they've almost called us crooks and liars about trying to trade this thing back for surplus airplanes or something like that. It's been very frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, what about private museums? Anybody really, really serious about this, or is it just the lack of funds that are holding them back?
Well, there's several that have contacted us and would like to do anything, but the ones that have been the most serious about it is the Airline History Museum in Kansas City. There used to be an organization called Save a Connie, and
yep.
Something happened. I'm not really clear what happened to that organization, but it now is called the Airline History Museum. And President Eisenhower's granddaughter is associated with it, Mary Eisenhower. And I know they've put a lot of effort into it, and they're aggressively trying to raise funds to buy the airplane and move it right now.
Well, they would be the place
to do it. Yeah,
that
would be a good home for it.
They have a 1049 model, Connie, and they used to, I don't know if they still fly her to air shows or not, but I have seen her in years past out on the air show circuit, and your airplane would be a wonderful addition to that.
It would, and we hope that they're successful with this, because they not only would buy and restore the airplane, but I think they would continue to fly it occasionally.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah, so we're excited that they're interested in it, and hopefully it'll come through for them.
Do you have any idea how many flights it actually made as Air Force One?
I don't know that number off the top of my head, but it was around 50, I would guess, maybe more.
That's a lot.
Yeah, the Eisenhower Museum in Abilene, Kansas has it fully documented, down to the meals that they served. They even know what meals they served on the aircraft. And
well, that's a tremendous resource right there. Plus, I imagine they have a lot of interior pictures.
They do. They do. It's one of the most documented airplanes in history as far as pictures and flight profiles and things. You know, I'm sure that all the other Air Force aircraft that hauled the president have similar backgrounds and records kept for them. But this airplane, once we learned what it was, it's an easy airplane to figure out where it's been and who was in it, things like that.
I was going to say, should somebody come up with the funds and the wherewithal to move this airplane, finding mechanics to work on it and pilots to fly it should not be hard at all. I have a good friend of mine who flew EC-121s and C-121s in the Air Force years ago. He'd love to get in the left seat of a Connie again.
There are people like that. Unfortunately, none of them are young.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's one of my concerns. I'm Mel Chrysler's grandson, and I'm in my 50s. And finding the people that can work on this airplane and move it, we've got, in my opinion, kind of a short window, maybe the next 10 years, and then it's going to fall to people that are young enough that they never really worked on these airplanes.
Yeah, round engines are a whole nother animal, not to mention just the airplane itself. It's, a lot of things are different.
The experience and skill required to work on an airplane that complex.
Yeah.
You know, outside the military, it would take you years to learn that.
This definitely, the Connie series was definitely the queen of the skies, was the ultimate propeller airliner. And unfortunately, the jet age overtook it. And she's a bit of a forgotten aircraft. You don't see a lot of them. And that's unfortunate because she's got beautiful lines, and she was a pretty fast airplane, too.
Just for laughs, do you remember how much your grandfather paid for the lot of five airplanes?
I've never seen the paperwork, but my uncle, who's largely involved in this, told me about $35,000 for five of them.
Wow. That's
there's
dirt.
There's a bargain.
Yeah, well, things were different back then. That was about the same time my dad could have bought a P-51 for $5,000 with a spare engine.
Oh man.
If only.
Yeah.
There are times when I wish we had a time machine, and this is one of them, that's for sure. So the airplane is sitting right now, and you're just basically waiting. If somebody is listening to this program and they say, you know what, this is a great idea, something I want to do, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, in this program, probably the easiest way to get in touch with me would be to contact you guys and get all the phone numbers and whatnot from one of the EAA people. But we've also got a video that's on YouTube called First Air Force One, and there's a website connected to that. We're not really just sitting around waiting right now. We've done that for years, and it's time to make this airplane flight-worthy again and get it moved. So I've kind of come to the conclusion that it's really going to be hard to sell the airplane itself. So what we've kind of tried to do is sell the story. And there's corporate interests that do have some interest in lending support to this, but they'd like some publicity out of it. So we've kind of pursued the idea of a documentary or a TV series that talks about this airplane, perhaps others, that could help fund this sort of thing. It's not the only airplane out there that needs attention.
No, not by any means, but it is an important one for sure.
It is, and I've never told this story to anyone that they didn't respond with interest and enthusiasm. Everybody seems to think this is quite a story.
All right, we're going to put the call out to our EAA listeners, any of you out there that have the funds, the wherewithal, and the interest in a presidential Air Force One, call us at EAA Radio 920-550-1210. Call us. The airplane is waiting now. She needs a good home.
And if you call now, we'll throw in a couple of radio personalities cheap.
That's right. And we're good wheel chocks, too. So, Tim, we're going to put the call out, and we're going to see what we can do to help you guys out with this airplane.
Well, I sure appreciate it.
Well, thanks for calling in, Tim, and it's a fascinating airplane. We hope to see it fly and hope to see it here at Oshkosh. That'd
yes,
be something.
That would be the goal.
We'd love to bring it out and show it to people.
All right. Very good. Thank you again, sir.
Take care, and please keep an eye on that bird. She's very special.
We'll do it. Thanks a lot.
All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this
is EAA Radio.